Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to be here, and thanks to my brother and friend, Theo. And I'm happy to worship with you this morning and the opportunity to share the word of God with you. It's a great joy to have familiar faces also here. Noam, also colleague at New College. We are happy to be here. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity you give us all the time to hear from you. This is yet another opportunity. We pray that your Spirit will speak to us with a voice and with a language that we understand, that will transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was excited when you asked me to be here, not just about the coming here, but about what you do here. He mentioned to me that you are having a series on what you call practicing our faith. And I thought that was great, because there is one thing knowing about your faith, and it's another thing practicing it. And I think God is more interested in us practicing it than knowing it. And so it's a good thing to try to know or learn about how we can practice our faith. And I'm happy that today we are looking at loving God and loving one another. Loving God and loving one another. Reading through the passage which has just been read through to us, a lot of things came to mind regarding the concept of loving God and loving neighbor. And we can take several hours to discuss, but since we have limited time, we'll focus on the practical side of it. How do we love God and love one another? And so that's what I would want us to focus on today. But before doing that, I want to draw your attention to something interesting about this passage. So Jesus was asked, which is the greatest law? And then he speaks about two things: love God and love your neighbor. I'm wondering why Jesus would want to place love for human beings at the same level with love for God. What does that tell us about how God sees, or Christ sees, human beings? There are those who, reading the scripture, they say the two are not the same. That's why Jesus says first and second. Meaning Jesus is ranking them. Loving God is above loving neighbor. But there are others who would also say that no, it's not using the first and the second. It's not ranking them, putting them in rank. It's rather saying that one flows from the other. But I still find it interesting. So I was asking, what does this tell us about God and human being? It's interesting for us to know when we read 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, that Jesus makes us to understand that, John makes us to understand that love for God and love for neighbor are intertwined. So that you cannot claim to love God without loving your neighbor. And you cannot love your neighbor adequate enough except if you love God. So that our love for our neighbor flows from our love for God. And if you claim to love God, then as a matter of necessity, you would love God. So that is something important for us to know and to keep it in mind as Christians. A lot of the time we are interested in loving God, but we must always bear in mind that loving God and loving your neighbor are intertwined. And it's even interesting when you listen to Jesus speak once again to one of the Pharisees in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 28, when one of the Pharisees asks Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And then Jesus asks them, have you read the law? What is written in it? How do you understand it? And the Pharisee said, it is written in the law that you should love your neighbor. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus responded to him and said, yes, you are right. do this and you have eternal life. So what this means is that loving God and loving neighbor is just it's not just something we do for fun, but our salvation and our eternal life is also linked with loving God and loving our neighbor. He says, do this and you have eternal life. Our salvation is all about having eternal life. And Jesus put the question, responding to someone who was asking, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, love your God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind, and then love your neighbor. And Jesus said, you are right. So that's to draw attention to the fact that loving God and loving our neighbor are jointly, they constitute a necessary condition for our salvation. And we hear John also make this clear in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, when he says that, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Meaning, if you do not love, then you've not been born of God. And to be born of God is to have salvation. So there is a sense in which love for God and love for our neighbor are jointly a necessary condition for our salvation. And what this also means is that this draws our attention to the fact that in the cosmos, in the society, in our lives, we have two forms of relationship. We have the vertical relationship and then we have the horizontal one. The vertical relationship is with our God who is high above. And then the vertical relationship is with our human beings. Love the Lord your God who is up, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's important for us to keep this in mind, that we are accountable for one another. We need to love God, but that is not enough. We need to demonstrate that love towards our neighbor as well. We should be concerned about our attitude towards God the same way, or we should be concerned about our attitude towards human beings the same way we are concerned about our attitude towards God. Because from all that we have read so far, where Jesus links love for God and love for neighbor, it draws our attention to the fact that Christian spirituality is as much about our attitude towards human beings as it is our attitude towards God. And this is very important for us to keep in mind. So how do we love God and love our neighbor? Going through scripture, I came to realize four ways or four means by which we can love God and love our neighbor, which I would want to draw our attention to this morning. And the first one is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and where God, in demonstrating his love for us, he himself was the initiator of that love. And in doing so, he reminds us that he is doing that as a standard for us. So the first thing we need to know regarding how we can love God and love our neighbor is that Jesus Christ is the standard for love. And when we talk of love, yeah, I know we may have different forms of love which we cannot define here. But here we are referring to the intentional, unconditional concern and care for others, which some people would call agape love. So Jesus is the standard for love for God and love for our neighbor. He has loved us first. And so we must also look at how he has loved us to love others. And Apostle Paul makes this clear in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 38, where Paul, in talking about how husbands should love their wives, he relates it to how Christ loves the church. And he says, just as Christ loves the church and he tries to wash the church, to make the best out of the church, so must husbands also love their wives. So in this way, the Apostle Paul is drawing our attention to the fact that Jesus is the standard for love. God himself is the source of love. So if you want to know how to love him and how to love our neighbors, then we should go back to him and ask, find out, how does God show his love towards us? How does God show his love towards us that we too can emulate? We read in John chapter 3 verse 16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So God demonstrated his love towards us by way of sacrifice, giving up his son, his only begotten son. So this way, God gives us the example that love is a matter of sacrifice. Love is not a matter of transactional relationship that he loves me, so I will love him. He speaks well towards me, so I also speak well towards him. He give me this, so I also give it to him. The kind of standard that Jesus, God himself, has given unto us, but as a way of demonstrating love, is a sacrificial type. Not a transactional kind of love. Not the kind of love that depends on what one does for you or what you get from the other. So, one way that we can show love, or we can love God and we can love our neighbor, is to always look up unto Jesus, look up unto God. How much has he loved us? So if you ever feel like giving up on loving someone, just remember how God has been patient with you when you messed up. If you ever think that you have given out your best unto someone and you are not getting it back in reciprocation, and so you feel like giving up, just ask yourself, how much have you given to God for the love that he has given, shown unto you? So the first way I think we can, going through scripture, we can love God and also love our neighbor, is to follow the example of the sacrificial love of God. Let us be sacrificial in the way we relate to others. The second thing in scripture that we see that gives us an indication of how God wants us to love him and to love our neighbor is what we read in the passage. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. And for a whole week, I've been thinking through, why would Jesus say that love with your heart, love with your soul, and love with your mind? What is so special about our heart? What is so special about our mind? What is so special about our soul that Jesus emphasizes that our love must be, or the instrument for our love towards him must be, our hearts and our mind and our soul? So thinking through, you would realize that our mind and our hearts and soul are the internal parts of the human being. Depending on what kind of philosopher you follow, human beings can have 3, 4, 5 different categories or components. The spirit, the soul, the body, some who add the mind, the spirit. But whichever you follow, or whichever way you think, the spirit, the heart, the mind, and the soul, they are not exterior. They are internal to the human being. And so this draws our attention to the fact that because these things are internal to us, it means to love, love must begin with an internal conviction. Conviction in the mind. After you have carefully thought through in your mind, and you are convinced in your heart that I need to show love to this person. So love is sustainable when it comes out of personal conviction, when it comes out of conviction. A friend sometimes said something which I agree with, and I have come to believe that it is true, that love is not about emotion. It's a matter of decision. It's a matter of deciding that I will love this person so that regardless of what a person does, I have committed to love this person, so I'll do it. God has decided to love us. And so even when we mess up, even when we go our own way, even when we do things that are so filthy before him, he says, I still love you and I'm always waiting for you. So loving God with all our heart and with all our mind tells us that loving God must begin from the conviction, the decision to love God. It is not about our emotions, so that today you say, I feel like loving God. I feel like showing care for my neighbor. Today, I just don't feel it. I am down emotionally. Yes, we can be down emotionally. But when you make it a point, you've made it a decision that whatever it takes, I will show my love towards God. Whatever it takes, I will show my love towards my neighbor. Regardless of the condition that you find yourself, you still do it anyway. So, love must begin from that kind of conviction in our heart. It is good to express it with our mouth that I love you. Say it to someone. I think it's good for the psyche. Some people love to hear that said to them several times. But however and how many times you say this, if you do not have that conviction in your heart, situations and conditions can always make you give up. And that's why it's important that love must come from the heart and the mind. Because when we base our love for others and for God on physical things, the things that we see, the things that we feel, the things that we experience, those kind of sensual things are not, they don't last longer. They are perishable. So the question is, why do you love someone? Why do you show care and concern towards the other? Do you love someone because of their beauty, their physical beauty? How about when old age catches up and their beauty seems to fade away? Do you love someone because of the gift, the benefits that you get from the person? How about if the person doesn't have it any longer to give it to you? So it is good to give and to get from others based on love. But love must be based on decision and the conviction to do it and to do it regardless. And this is why Paul could say that nothing could separate us from the love of God, because God himself has decided and he's not going to change his mind regarding loving us. The third thing that I think gives us an idea of how God wants us to love him and to love our neighbor, it's in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 19. So one day Jesus was with his disciples, and then he called Peter and he asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." He asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." For the third time, Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "You know that I love you." I think at this point, Peter was getting furious because you're asking him the same question, the same response, and then you keep asking. But for the third time again, Jesus said, "If you love me, then feed my sheep." What is it that this is drawing our attention to? Love for God is about caring for the things that God cares about. God is concerned about his sheep. So he was telling Peter that if you love me, it is not just a matter of you telling me you love me. If you love me, care for the things I care for. I care for my sheep. So to demonstrate your love for me is to care for the things that I care for. To demonstrate our love for God is to care for the things that God cares for. God cares about his church. He says, "I'll build my church. I'll build it myself, and the gate of hell cannot stand against it." So God is interested in his church. If we love God, then we must demonstrate that in our attitude towards his church. God is so jealous about his name. He said, "Thou shalt not mention my name in vain." He cares about his name, the kind of reputation that is associated with him. And so if we love God, then we who are called the ambassadors of Christ, we must uphold the name of God not in vain with our attitude and with our behavior. God cares about the marginalized, the poor. He cares about children. Most of the time in Jesus' ministry here on earth, one of the things that the charges that they had against him was that he associated with the outcast, the people that the Pharisees and the others would consider not to belong, the prostitute, the tax collectors, those that in general society, they will think that these people, they do not fit here. Those are the kind of people that Jesus associated with. Jesus cares about the marginalized, the people who are at the fringes of society. And so if we love God, like he said, Jesus said to Peter, care for my sheep. Care for the people I care for. Care for the people that I love. Care for the poor. Care for the needy. Care for the marginalized in our society. Sometimes in here in Europe, you may think that everyone is okay because people dress and move about with smiles. But deep within our societies, deep within our friends, you find people who are struggling financially. You find people who are struggling emotionally. You find people who struggle to even belong. Those are the kind of people that God and Christ is asking us that if we love him, that we must care for those people as well. So these are some of the ways that, three ways that we can demonstrate our care and love for God. The fourth way that we can do this is what Jesus himself again said in John chapter 14, verses 15 and 21. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So love for God is about obedience unto him. Love for God is about obedience unto him. Sometimes we are tempted to think that when you love someone, the love of God, it precludes the laws of God. So that sometimes in our discussions on ethical issues, when you tell someone that this kind of character, this kind of attitude, this kind of lifestyle of yours is against what God would approve of, then the person will tell you that you are not showing love. But that is not the case. The love of God and the love for God demands of us to also obey the laws and the commands of God. Even those that are so unpleasant unto us. And so if we claim to love God, and if we want to demonstrate this kind of love, then we must be ready to obey God. We must be ready to obey the things that he says to us in Scripture. He must be ready to say the things that he says to us in our moments of devotion. Sometimes you have your own time, quiet time with God in prayer, and you could sense the Spirit of God saying something to you. Sometimes it will be very unpalatable. You may have developed your own plan, how you want to do things. And what you could sense the Spirit of God saying to you is so contrary. It's at the opposite end of what you think feels good for you to do. If you are not ready to give up on what you think feels good for that which God wants you to do, then we are not showing love towards God. We need to be obedient unto God if we love him. And that is what he expects of us. So, four ways that we have mentioned so far to guide us in terms of how to show love towards God and our neighbor. One, we should look up to Jesus as our example. Look at how he has showed his love towards us. Look at the sacrificial care and support and concern that he has demonstrated towards us. We should also be mindful that love begins from the conviction of the heart and decision in the mind. And we should bear in mind that for Jesus, to love God is to care for the things that he cares for. And so if we are loving God, then we must care for the people and the things that God cares for. To love our neighbor is to care for the things that are of concern to our neighbor. And fourth, to demonstrate our love towards God is to obey God. From the examples of Jesus and all that we have heard so far, we can conclude that love is a matter of demonstration and not just lip service. Love is a matter of demonstration and not just lip service. You can say you love someone 10 times a day, but if you do not demonstrate it in action before God, that is not love. For God so loved the world that he demonstrated it by giving his son. So to love God and to love our neighbor, it's not just a matter of saying it, but it's a matter of demonstrating it. Let us demonstrate our love for God and our love for our neighbors in action. To demonstrate his love for us, God had to give up something that was so precious unto him, his own son. So in conclusion, I'll ask us, what is it that you are willing to give up in demonstration of your love for others? How much are you willing to sacrifice in demonstration of love unto others? Love of God unto us is unconditional. He loved us even when we were sinners. He didn't wait for us to repent before he loved us. Sometimes we think that, oh, I have done enough for this guy and he's not replicating it. He's not giving the reciprocation of what I do unto him. So I'm giving up. God loved us unconditionally. Are we also willing to love him back unconditionally? Are we also willing to love others back unconditionally? Not looking at what we get from them or what they give back unto us. I have tried to be nice to him, but he always frowns at me. I've had enough. Did Jesus say same to you? I have tried hard to speak well to this guy, but he always speaks back in a way that is so condescending. I cannot associate with him again. I have shown enough care unto this guy, but he gives space me back negatively. I cannot do again. Did Jesus or did God give up on us? Let us remember that God showed his love towards us through demonstration, and he did so sacrificially. So let us also go and give up whatever is necessary. Pride, vindictiveness, bitterness, arrogance, so that we can demonstrate God's love unto others. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. If we are to love God and one another, let us think about these things. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today that reminds us of your love for us and the call unto us also to love you and to love others unconditionally and sacrificially. Help us, O God, to give up anything and everything that needs to be given up so that we can love you better and love others better. Some of us may be struggling with a situation with someone, a relative, a partner, a friend, a colleague, whom we have done all that we could just to show that love of yours to us. But the reaction towards us is pushing us to the point of giving up. But we know that you are looking up unto us to raise up your flag of love unconditionally so that even through that, others will come to you. Help us to continue to persevere in love and be patient in so doing, so that in due time, your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.